Couple of months ago, in our leadership meeting, Joel said, "Dave, how'd you like to preach on the 5th or the 2nd of April?" I said, "Yeah, actually, I had a couple of things, so I thought, sure." You know how you say no, I don't. But here's the interesting part: I didn't put all this together. Sometimes I'm the last one to know. Good, that's a time to laugh. Okay. Yeah. But as the time was rolling closer, we were teaching out of 1 Corinthians, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait a second, because part of what I wanted to bring was 1 Corinthians 13, and the other part was something else. And he kept getting closer and closer to that, and I finally went to him like 2 weeks ago. I said, "You're not going to get to the 13th, verse or chapter 13, are you?" He goes, "No." He goes, "Because I want to do that." He goes, "No, that's going to work out perfect." So last week we did 11 and 12, and so here we are at 13. But part of what I wanted to bring was a message out of this, but also something else. And so I've been trying to fit that other part into this, and this week I realized that's just not going to work. So here we are. So if you've ever tried to bring a message, you understand what I'm talking about. Other than that, you're like, whatever. Anyway. Right? Anyway, so I wanted to review a little bit. In 1 Corinthians 11, 27 to 29, it says, 1 Corinthians 11, I'm teaching out of the NIV, so if you want to bring those scriptures up, you can, or if you can't, that's fine. 27 to 29. It says, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily, in an unworthy manner, will bring guilt and sinning against their body and the blood of the Lord. A man who ought to examine himself. Well, I'm just going to stop right there. So I want to put this in context. The Corinthians were going after the gifts, and apparently were going after food too, in a way that Paul needed to address. Amen. Okay, and then in verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, "Now, this is now about a spiritual gifts, brothers. I don't want you to be ignorant." And in my complete Jewish Bible, it says, I don't want you to go on being ignorant about the things of the Spirit. So again, he's correcting them. And so when we look at chapter 12, or when we look at chapter 13, this is really a correction. We look at it as the love chapter. Everybody knows, this is the love chapter, but it's actually a correction. I love to bring correction. That's a time to learn? Okay. So I want to review in chapter 12, 27 to 31. I want to read the end of this. It says, "Now, you are the body of Christ. Each of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those who are able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak tongues? Do all interpret? But verse 31 says, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. And then the second half of that is actually written as part of verse of chapter 13. And this is my title. You got your title. You got the title, right, Bob? What? Okay. And it says, and now I will show you the most excellent way. So there's, and I wrote about verse 31, the first half. It says, every good parent desires their children to go further. And God is a good parent. And so he does want us to go after the gifts. We do want to go after the gifts, but he goes, but now I'll show you the most excellent way. Verse 1. Can I move this thing? There you go. If I speak in tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, but and if I have faith to move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Now this, Vicki, don't say anything. Who knows, does anybody know what hyperbole is? Really? Wow. Okay. Hyperbole is something, it is in the definition, part of the definition is a deliberate exaggeration used for effect. A deliberate exaggeration for an effect. Anybody who tells stories knows that this is a gift, you know. But anyway, this is what Paul is doing. So just imagine. He's saying, you know, if you speak in tongues, all languages. Have you ever tried to? Yesterday I was at a family, and they were all Spanish, and I was trying to get a point across. Fortunately, the daughter spoke some English, but my plan was I was going to call my daughter and say, here, talk to these people, because I couldn't understand what they were saying. And today in Jeffrey's testimony, he was with all these Korean fellows, you know, people in Haiti. Yeah, so he's 0-2. No Haitian, no Korean. He's the only American there, and he's on the out. He doesn't know what's going on. They say something to him, and he goes, sure. But just imagine that you can speak other languages. My daughter, when she was a senior, we homeschooled, and she had these index cards, and she had them all over the house. And she had one word at the top in English, and then she would have the German and the French and the Spanish below it for each word. She had these things all over the house, trying to keep things straight, because she's, you know, she goes after 100%. So, but can you imagine being able to speak all languages and understand them? Even the languages of angels. And what does it profit you spiritually? Nothing. If you have not love. What if you could prophesy like Daniel did, and understand mysteries and have all knowledge? And if you could have the faith to move mountains, but you had not love, it profits you nothing. And the third one is, if you gave all that you had to the poor, and you sacrificed your body to the flames. And at the reading of this, that was happening. And it does happen even in this day sometimes. But if you had not love, it didn't profit you anything. That's some hyperbole there. So if it's not motivated by love, so the most spectacular manifestations of the Spirit mean nothing without love. Nothing. Now here, we've in chapter 12 and in 14, we're going to be talking about gifts of the Spirit. Love is not a gift in this context. Love is not a gift here. Love is a fruit. Who said that? She's a good student. She'll get a star at home. So we're talking about fruits out of Galatians 5, 22 to 25. And on top of these gifts, this love is like salt to the meal. Have you ever eaten something without salt? Hallelujah. This is great. I wish I had some salt. You know? Now I got a question for you. How would you like to, this is not a safe place. How would you like to take your paycheck? Some people get paid once a week, some people every other week. How would you like to take that paycheck and give it away or throw it away? And then the Lord said to me, the Lord gave me this. But he said, no. He says, burn it. What would you think of that? How would you like to do that? That is an example of what the Lord is saying in verses 1 through 3. Can you imagine working that hard to learn all the languages of the world and even of angels? I don't know how you get a class with the angels to learn the language. Or to prophesy and to be able to fathom mysteries or all knowledge or have faith to move mountains. To give all your possessions away and surrender your body to the flames. These are full-time jobs, all of them. Well, the one is kind of quick. I'm like questioning the Lord. I said, isn't giving it away or throwing it away good enough? He goes, you could still retrieve it. If you gave it to someone, you would expect them to give you back something. He goes, no. He goes, burn it. There's no way to retrieve it. There's no way to retrieve it. And this is what the Lord's saying. He goes, anything you do without love means nothing. Nothing at all. Now, okay, let me make sure I'm good on this side. Yeah. Okay. And you think that's bad? You think throwing your check away or burning your check is bad? Let's look at Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. I love to hear the sound of pages moving. You can't hear that on a tablet. Yeah, there you go. Says verse 21, says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? Then he will say to them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Vicky says those are the worst words that you could possibly hear. That's not being fired from a job or laid off. That's going to hell. So, this is pretty serious. Now, I don't want you to think, well, I don't want anything to do with gifts. Well, you don't want to stand before God when he says, what did you do with the gifts that I gave you? Right? Okay. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 4 through 8a. What did I say? We're back in Corinthians. I'm really bad at this. We're back in chapter 13. At least you are. I'm not there yet. Okay. Chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8a. We all on the same page? I'm probably the last one again. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. I'm going to stop right there. In verse 5, it says, love is not self-seeking. I remember Jill and Kathy and I used to go to these repentance conferences, you know, in the early 2000s. And Jill and I were sitting in the meeting place, and we're just waiting for things to start. And we were sitting in front of this girl named Lily, and she was I'm not sure she was Oriental. I'm not sure if she was Korean. Chinese, I don't know. She might have been Chinese. But she's sitting in front of this gorgeous girl, long black. I mean, she could stick out black hair in her pockets. Anyway, she's sitting in front of us, and she turns around and she says to Jill and I, she goes, do you know what you see when you look at Jesus' eyes? And I remember Jill looking at me, and I looked at her, and we both wanted to say, sure. But we said, no, I don't know. What do you see? And she says, you see yourself. Because there's no self in him. Jesus is selfless. He has no need. The only desire that I ever hear him give in the scriptures is he wants to meet the needs of the widows and orphans and anyone who loves him, anyone who calls out to him. But he has no need. So when you look in his eyes, you see yourself. I don't know anybody like that. Do you? Okay. And in verse 8, the beginning of verse 8, it says that love never fails. But in the Amplified, version, it says, never fades or becomes obsolete, comes to an end. No, love never ends. It never ends. That's a little more expressive than never fails. Now, let's look at John. We're going to come back to 1 Corinthians. So put a marker in there. But I want to go to John, 1 John 4. And you don't have to go there. I'll go there. But I like hearing pages turn. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Listen to those pages turning. Isn't that awesome? Okay. Dear friends, let us love... Oh, no, that's... Is that it? Okay, I'm looking at another one. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not come from God, because God is love. Now that is a heavy statement. And I'm not going to take the time to really broaden on that, but God is love. Actually, I read the wrong. Okay, I read 3 instead of 2. So basically, can you imagine doing spiritual gifts without God? Well, apparently some have. Apparently, you know, in John 7, they were. Somebody was, or somebody would be. But it doesn't count for anything unless God is in it, unless love is in it. And let's look at John 13. Not 1 John. John 13 says, John 13, 34 and 35. I should have read this one first. I messed up. John 13. 34 and 35. It says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. And we just sung that. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is how we're recognized, that we love one another. Or you could say, we're recognized by the fact that we love one another, or are we recognized because they see Jesus in us? Either way, it's opposite from what the world is doing. Amen? I don't like preaching. It's too quiet. There you go. I got one. Okay, let's look at verse 8. Verse 8, back in 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Verse 9 says, for we know in part, we prophesy in part. I'm going to stop there. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. So our prophecies, if we prophesy, It's only in part. And it will not end. Now, does love end?
No.
No. But tongues will cease, or tongues will still, and prophecies will cease, and knowledge will pass away. But in verse 10, it says, but when perfection comes, I love that. Isn't that good? But when perfection comes, the imperfect will disappear. So verse 11 says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish ways behind me. Now, it's a natural and a normal event for us to grow and mature. Amen? But what Paul is saying is, and apparently, tongues, prophecies, and miracles must have been the top hit list of the Corinthians. That's what they were going after, because he keeps beating those gifts up. But to know Jesus is the beginning of all wisdom. To know Jesus. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. What do you think that's talking about? Sure. When he comes back. He could be talking about when the Holy Spirit fell for the first time in Acts 2. He could be talking about when we came to Jesus. You know, there was a level of perfection that was coming, and but ultimately he's talking about when Jesus comes back and he puts everything right. Even to this day, I forget when it was, but I go out to, especially when it's winter time, I go out and I start the car for my honey because she's working and I'm kind of just waiting for the phone to ring or do whatever. And so I go out and I'll start the car. And we have a lilac bush on the corner of the property, on the corner of the building. So I come out of the house and I walk down, and right when I get to the end of our trailer, you can see down the side. And right when I got to that point, and then the car's right there, so I got to walk around the car, and there's this lilac bush right on that corner. And I saw something fly right when I came around that corner. But it didn't fly away. It flew from one side of the bush to the other side. Now, right now, there's nothing on our lilac bush but some buds. So this bird thought he was hiding behind some twigs, but I could see him. But I'm like, well, I want to get to the car, but if I move, he's probably going to fly away. In fact, it was a cardinal, a little cardinal, and I don't know if I've ever been that close to a bird, and it didn't move, you know, unless it was a parrot in a cage, you know. And so I thought, well, it's getting cold, and I got to get the car going. So I thought I'd take a chance and see what happens, and it didn't move. So I went around the car, and I'm like, wow. In fact, I said, thank you. Now, the corner of that room is our bedroom, and Vicky's in the bedroom getting dressed. And so when I came back in the house, she goes, who are you talking to? Right? So anyway, I'm standing at the car and the bird hasn't moved. I said, now I'm going to really take a chance because I'm going to open the door. You know, I open the door. He doesn't move. I'm going to, well, we get in the car. So I get in the car, close the door. He's still there. I go, well, I'm going to start the car. He's going to move. He's going to, you know, he's going to fly away. I start the car. He stays there. I go, wow, this is awesome, you know. I got to tell Vicky this, you know. So I get in the car, you know, I knock it out of gear, and I make sure the brake's on. I leave it warm up. And I go, I open the door. I get out, and I go around the car. He's still there. So I go in the house. I tell Vicky, I said, I told her the story. I said, hurry up and get dressed. And he might still be there, you know. And you know when you're waiting for somebody, about an hour and a half later. Was that hyperbole or what? But anyway, so sure enough, she gets dressed after an interminable amount of time. And so we go down, and she's in the lead, and she goes down, and she looks around the corner, and he's still there. You know? And so she goes around and she gets on the other side, but instead of getting in the car, of course, she has to take a picture. She has to take a picture. So she's about to take a picture, and I pull her over here so that there's no twigs in the way. And she takes a picture, and sure enough, he's the little guy still there. So she gets in the car, she closes the door, he's still there. I give her a kiss. She rolls the window down. I give her a kiss. And she backs out and goes down the driveway. He's still there. So, and actually, she wasn't going to work because that was Monday because she was going to the women's thing. And so she's going down the bottom of the driveway, and she's coming up the road. And so when she comes up the road, I have to be there to wave as she goes by. You know, married people do weird things. I don't know. So anyway. She goes up the road, and so I run. I get up on the deck, and I, hey, honey. And now I'm starting to think maybe there's something wrong with this bird because it didn't move all that time. Yeah. So I go back, and sure enough, he's gone. I'm like, okay, good. But yeah, he's probably thinking, boy, these people are weird. He comes out and drives the car. He's kind of comes out and starts the car, and she drives it away. What? You know, anyway. But God gives us these little things. You know, normally that bird would fly away. Why would that bird be afraid? Why? Why? Because of our sin. All nature is under a curse because of our sin. And that little bird, I don't know what that meant. I'm like, Lord, that was awesome, you know? And Vicky got a picture. Got two pictures. But when we love, we supersede the curse. We supersede the curse. Amen? So when perfection comes, I love that. When perfection comes, the imperfect will disappear. Now, I don't know what that means for us. Or suddenly all those things that we struggle with all of a sudden go to, whoosh, and we'll be different? I don't know. I don't know. But either way, that's pretty awesome. And we're going to get to the last part of this is my favorite, one of the favorite parts of the Bible. In verse 12, it says, now we see but a poor reflection, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am known. So it's talking about now and then. Now we have pain. Dean is in pain. My brother this past week had a mini stroke. He'll be 60 next month. You never know. Now we have pain. Then we won't. Amen? So now, so here's now and then. Now, imperfect disappears. Then, well, I should say then first. Then, when perfection comes, imperfect disappears. Then we will see face to face. Ah. Now we see in part. Now we see in part. Then we will know even as we are known. Now we know in part. So in verse 13 it says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And what the one I got was, we put our faith in a future hope while love carries us to the end. We put our faith in a future hope while love carries us to the end. And love is the only thing that can carry us to the end because it does not fail, does not end. So, that's it. We're looking at Palm Sunday. And Jesus is coming. I was gonna look it up and read it, and I didn't know how much time. Usually I don't have enough time. But Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and they're waving palms. They might not even know why at the time. They might have known who Jesus was, they might not have. They were looking for someone to deliver him for the Romans. Romans were professional pain givers. But the point that I really wanted to bring is that we need to know who Jesus is. Not just to be able to minister in the gifts. And Joel is going to come right back to the gifts in chapter 14. But without that salt, the salt of love in, you know, Jesus in our lives, it means nothing. It doesn't count for anything. It doesn't go from here to there. So he's saying in verse 31 of chapter 12, he says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. But I will show you the most excellent way. And it's him. It's Jesus. So, as I'm doing what I'm doing, I'm not even realizing it's Palm Sunday. You know, I didn't even realize it. So, Lord, what do I say? What do I say about Palm Sunday? He says, eagerly wait for perfection to come. Because talk about a triumphal entry. Everyone will see. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So, and there's a reason that we are a body. We need to pick each other up. We need to help each other. I wish everyone could have heard Jeffrey's testimony this morning. He was talking about going through the process of going from here to here. And he ended up in a group of people, what was it, Celebrate Recovery. And these guys back each other up. If you call one of those guys at 3 o'clock in the morning, they will be there. And And his testimony was that the church did not have anything like that. That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. Now, most of us haven't come from a drug background or maybe depression or whatever, but some of us have. Some of us have gotten involved in the occult. But we need, even if, my testimony is, everybody gets excited about my testimony because it hits about every sin there is. Vicky's is like, what'd you do? But I say, she feels bad about her testimony. And I'm like, I had nowhere to go but up. My next step was in the grave, But for you to get saved, that's a miracle, to me. But we have to have, but we need to back each other up. We need to stand with each other. When Faith is struggling, she should be able to call someone. When Michelle is at her end because Dean is just, you need to be able to call someone, And we went over to pray, but that's just, that's a Band-Aid on something that's bleeding out. We need to be able to back each other up. We need to become a body. We need to become a body. Now, it's not as easy, we may live in East Jibip or, wherever, it's a little distant, but still, we need to be able to cover each other. God's coming back for a bride. And what if Vicky fell, part of that was accounted to Linda because she wasn't there for her. Now, I didn't use that example because I'd love to pick on Linda.
Yes, it was.
I could have picked on Cheryl. But the point is, we are connected. We are connected. And we need to be there for each other. That love, the love of Jesus, should be the motivation of everything. And I get, now I'm talking to me too, because I'm interested in the Final Four that are on tonight. I'm interested in how bad the Phillies are doing, I'm interested in doing, work for somebody or whatever. I look out at the lawn or the trees and I want to cut one down. I want to do this, one do that. There's thousands of things, There's a myriad of excuses why we don't do something. There's only one excuse why we do something. It's Jesus. Jesus did it for me. He did it for me. The Bible says he loved us when we were sinners. How many of you love somebody that hates you? Not too many. That's not easy to do, but that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. So when we think about the triumphal entry, remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 13, because it says when perfection comes, imperfect will disappear. I'm going to give you one more verse. This is a verse that the Lord gave me a while ago, and I've been chewing on it for quite a while. It's Romans 4. It's the last verse in Romans 4, 25. Romans 4:25. This is the one that I gave Dean when we came over. Hear that? Hear those verses? This doesn't make as much noise. Okay, anyway. There you go. You can always count on Pat to make noise. That's awesome. It says, he was delivered, this is Jesus. He was delivered over to death for our sins. Okay, so we're celebrating Passover, where Jesus dies. He was the Passover lamb. Amen?
Amen.
We are cleansed by his blood, and his death was paid for our sins. But it also says, and he was raised to life for our justification. 3 days that year, 3 days later, he rose from the dead and he purchased our justification. Now, what is justification? Justification is just as if I had never sinned. To be pure and clean before Jesus. That's why he rose from the dead. He snatched the keys of sin and death from the enemy. And I don't think he snuck in and the enemy wasn't looking. He probably walked right up to him. He said, come up with those keys, they're mine. And the enemy had nothing to say. So, we celebrate when Jesus died. And this is also communion. We celebrate when Jesus died, our cleansing and our healing. And when he rose from the dead, he purchased our justification. We are sanctified and justified before God. We can enter the kingdom. We can enter the temple. We can enter the Holy of Holies, where the Spirit of the Lord is. And that's where Moses went into the Holy of Holies. When he came out, they're like, yo, put something over your face, man. You're shining. You're freaking us out. We need to be doing that. We need to be freaking people out. Right, Jeff? So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your gifts, but we thank you more for the greatest gift, which is Jesus Christ. And may the love of the Father be in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may we shine as we're in your presence. May people pick us out of the crowd and say, hey, I don't know what you got, but I want it. Lord Jesus, and if they don't come to us, just like faith's testimony, do we go to them? Do you point them out of us and we go to them? Whether they're in a laundromat or whether they're wherever they are, Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.